Good morning, Bill Lynch with the CBS World News Roundup. Something in the American psyche seems to trigger sudden, senseless mass killings. It happened again overnight in a quiet Florida town, as Bill Whitaker reports.
Witnesses say it was like a nightmare. A man armed with a high-powered rifle and a handgun opened fire in the parking lot of a crowded Palm Bay, Florida shopping center, gunning down early evening shoppers.
As I turned around, I just heard this pop, pop, pop noise. And then I looked over, and just people were dropping.
I started hearing shots, and I turned around, and the guy was laying in the street dead. Or, well, he was shot.
And the guy looked like a maniac. He was going to kill. You know? He wasn't after any money, and then he was just going to kill somebody.
He shot his way into a supermarket where he held three patrons hostage. As police negotiated with the gunman, the injured were rushed to area hospitals. After 8 hours, the gunman released his hostages. Police flushed him out with tear gas and a firebomb. A suspect who gave his name as William Cruz of Palm Bay is in police custody. His shooting spree left at least 6 dead and as many as 15 injured. Bill Whitaker, CBS News, Palm Bay, Florida.
All through the night, searchers combed the rubble that until yesterday had been a high-rise apartment under construction in Bridgeport, Connecticut. When the tons of concrete and steel collapsed, 9 workers were killed, and this morning, 19 are missing. Correspondent Richard Roth is there.
Two imperatives drive the rescue work this morning. One is to get through the rubble quickly in hopes of finding men still alive. The other is to pull apart the debris carefully enough to avoid further collapse. All night under floodlights, the rescue work went on, pausing occasionally so that listening devices could be monitored for sounds of life beneath the wreckage. But overnight, as another body was pulled from the tangle of steel and concrete, the odds were diminishing that more trapped victims would be found alive. The construction project, a high-rise apartment building, had fallen without warning. Workers like Ken Brett saying there was one big noise, then collapse.
I heard a loud roaring noise, and I went to look up, and I seen a building coming down. Turned to run, and it was too late to run, though.
Construction was by what's called the lift slab technique. Concrete floors poured on the ground, then hoisted up into position. It's believed one of the massive sections fell, and that touched off the collapse. But this morning, it's not a question of why it happened. It's wondering, can anyone still be saved? Bridgeport's mayor believes the chances are minimal, but there's a hope, he says, that there are protected spaces, pockets within the ruins, and that in the spaces, there may be life. Richard Roth, CBS News, Bridgeport, Connecticut.
Having begun the latest round of Euromissile talks with a discussion of procedural matters, U.S. and Soviet negotiators sit down in Geneva again Monday to begin working out differences in the draft treaties each side has presented to eliminate medium-range nuclear missiles from Europe. Early today, the House approved two measures designed to reverse President Reagan's policies on nuclear testing and SALT II missile limits. Deborah Potter reports.
House Republicans raged that the arms control provisions would hamper efforts in Geneva to reach a new agreement. Newt Gingrich of Georgia accused the Democrats of giving away the store.
The liberal Democrats reward the Soviets for corrupting our Marine Guards and bugging our embassy by offering to give the Soviets a victory in disarming America here in the U.S. House.
That drew an angry rejection from Democrat Tom Downey of New York.
We're not doing a favor for the Soviet Union when we reduce the number of warheads aimed at the United States. We are doing a favor for the world and for our own country from striking a blow for sanity.
The House provisions would force the U.S. to abide by the SALT II treaty and ban most nuclear testing if the Soviet Union follows suit. But there's no chance they'll ever take effect. President Reagan has promised a veto in the unlikely event that the arms control measures make it through the Senate. Deborah Potter, CBS News on Capitol Hill.
Whatever the prospects for those House provisions, they clearly show a division in Congress over the best course to follow in arms control. We asked correspondent Tom Fenton, who's covering the Geneva talks, what effect the House action might have on the negotiations.
Judging from the views expressed privately by some of the American negotiators, I think it's unlikely to have a major impact on a process that already has a good deal of momentum. The two leaders of the superpowers have decided in principle that they want a deal, and a deal they will get probably sometime this year. I don't think that what is happening in Congress will necessarily help, but it's not likely to stop the process.
Those House arms control amendments were tacked on to an $8.5 billion supplemental spending bill for this year. Among other things, the House killed $651 million in extra foreign aid and mandated 20% across-the-board cuts in just about every program except aid to the homeless. The anti-foreign aid vote was seen as a slap by House conservatives at what one called State Department appeasement of anti-American regimes in Africa. Liberals called it a vote for South African apartheid. A provincial Supreme Court in South Africa has overturned harsh government restrictions on news reporting of unrest and security force actions. Since the government can appeal, the ruling won't take immediate effect. Police in Durban said today they shot and killed three suspected members of the African National Congress in a gunfight that set the blacks' house on fire. For the first time, the government has disclosed how many black and mixed-race children are being held in detention. A police official put the number at 1,424 youths between ages 12 and 18, far higher than previous estimates. Dissident Soviet psychiatrist Anatoly Karagin left Moscow with his family today for a new life in Switzerland. He was released in February after 6 years in prisons and labor camps. The nation's inflation rate has broken through the 6% level with last month's consumer price report. The Labor Department says there's been an overall rise in March living costs of 0.4%. Clothing went up 1.7%, the biggest jump in 13 years. Blamed on the big price tags women are finding on those new spring and summer fashion lines. Gold prices skyrocketed to more than $462 an ounce today in London and Zurich, gaining more than $8 since yesterday. The reason? The continued slide in the dollar, especially in Tokyo, where Barry Peterson reports it closed at an unprecedented 139.50 yen.
The dollar crashed to a new record low. Analysts saying Japan doesn't think much of the American economy. This because the somewhat good news that America's gross national product grew at more than 4% last quarter should have inspired confidence in the greenback. Instead, the word was sell. As the dollar falls, the yen rises. Japanese exports rise in price and sales are cut. The government today warned Japanese companies to make plans to survive with an even lower dollar, to learn how to sell within Japan or face ruin because Japanese goods are no longer cost competitive on world markets. All this comes as Japan's prime minister is reeling from a major defeat in the parliament. He was forced to abandon his proposed sales tax. It was a major embarrassment on the eve of Yasuhiro Nakasone's trip to Washington next week. He will arrive politically crippled at a time when Japan needs all the strength it can get. Barry Peterson, CBS News, Tokyo.
On Wall Street, the Dow Industrial Average is off 16.19 points at 2264.77. Big board volume, 22,440,000 shares. It's 10 past 7.